Hi and welcome back to the tutorials on Surface Hub. And in this tutorial we're going to look at how we add drag and drop and direct manipulation to the UWP application that we showed you last time. Now just as a reminder, I guess we should look at that UWP application. So let's just quickly run that UWP application on the hub so we remember what it is. Just going to quickly run it on the remote machine. And here it is, running on the remote machine. And remember, it's a little Kanban board with to do, work in progress, and done. And we can create new jobs. We can create a job. And it creates this modal dialog to create the job. We type in the title and some details and create the job, and it creates it, and then we move it into work to progress, and then done. So that's the application. Let's change it now, because what we want to do is be able to drag and drop these jobs between the columns. So we're going to use the gesture recognizer, manipulation events, and pointer events in order to do this. So if you follow along with the code, you may want to grab the original starting point of the UWP application and follow along. I'm going to just start coding this up now and talk you through, as I write the code, what I'm doing. So the first thing I'm going to do is, in the jobs view model, we're going to create a new method to move the jobs between locations. So let's start with an internal method called move job. And move job will take a job, which we will just call job, and it will move it into a moving mode. So we're setting it up for moving. So first thing we want to do, just a little bit of safety checking, make sure that we've got a valid job. And then before we do anything, let's be safe and save our jobs so that we've got a state that's saved. And then depending on the status of our job, so our job has a status, we will switch and take different actions depending on the status. So if it's a job status is backlog, then we'll set the job status to be job status moving. And then we will set the property change, because we've just changed what's in the backlog. So we'll change that now to notify anyone that what's in the backlog has changed. Now we're going to do something very similar for the others, so we can actually just copy and paste this and change a couple of things. So we're going to do this for work in progress, and of course work in progress, we're going to change the whip, and we're going to change this for done, and that's the done list. Okay, so now we've created the ability to move jobs into a moving mode. By default, we won't do anything, because that means it's already moving. So if it's not done, work in progress, or backlog, it must already be moving. So there's nothing to do at this point. So the next thing we want to do is add a method to move a job into a specific status. We've taken it from the state it's in to a moving state. We now want to take it into a specific status. So let's create a new method that moves a job, taking a job again, but this time taking a job status as well. So we're now going to move the job. We'll check that we have a valid job. And if the status we're moving to is backlog, then we will set our job status to backlog, and we will do that on property changed again, because now we've put something into the backlog, so we can notify anyone that's watching any bound views that we've changed. Now we can do the same again for work in progress and for done. So else, and if it's work in progress, we will move it to work in progress and notify of WIP. And if it's done, we will change it to done. So now we've moved the job from essentially what will be a moving state into one of the columns. And now we've done that, we should really make sure we save, so we're saving state again. So now we have the framework in place in the view model to move jobs around. One of the things we're going to need to do is create some way of grabbing those jobs using our hands, using our fingers, and moving them. So the way we're going to do that is by using a manipulation processor. So let's create in the common folder a new class. And we will call this class a manipulation input processor. Did I spell that right? Manipulation input processor, looks good. Okay, so we've now got this new class, manipulation input processor. And we'll make it available to everyone inside this solution. So we have this manipulation input processor. We're now going to use this to capture and utilize a gesture recognizer. So we're going to create a gesture recognizer object. And that means we need to input the using Windows UI input. And we will just call it a recognizer. We will also utilize a couple of UI elements, one to represent the object that we're moving, and one to represent the object that it is moving within. So I need to include the XAML namespace. And the object it moves against or within, we'll call that the reference for now. Now, we want to set up this manipulation input processor with everything it needs to know in order to manipulate things and recognize gestures to move things around. So let's start with a constructor. And that constructor can take pretty much the parameters of the gesture recognizer the element that we're moving, which we will call the target, and the element that we're moving within, which we will call the reference frame. In fact, to make that a little easier to see, why don't I just bring that down a line? Okay. So now within here, obviously we can copy those objects over into our local variables in the class. So that's the first thing to do. We'll say the element that we're moving is the target, and the reference of where it's moving around is the reference frame that's passed in. Okay, so now we've captured those. We want to actually set up some things to happen with the recognizer. So the recognizer only needs to recognize a certain set of gestures. We don't need to recognize every gesture. And we'll go and do that in another method. So let's generate default settings for our recognizer. Now we haven't written that method yet, so we can just generate it, and we'll come back and have a look at that in a minute. once we finish this constructor. Now, the next thing we're going to do is we're going to actually capture every time someone touches the element that we want to move around, we want to capture that. So there's a bunch of pointer methods. Now, the pointer is the object that you're moving. So pointer pressed means that someone has pressed down on the object. So let's add event handlers for pointer pressed. We're going to do the same for pointer moved, because we want to know when your finger is moving across that element. Then we're going to do a pointer released, because we want to know when the finger is lifted up from the element. And you can see a lot of this code templating is being generated for me, which is lovely. So we can take advantage of Visual Studio doing that good work. And of course, pointer cancelled means something has cancelled the interaction. Let me just get it to generate again. So that gives us all the pointer captures of when someone puts their finger down, moves their finger, drags their finger, releases their finger, or for some other reason, the action is cancelled. We're going to look now at a couple of events for the recognizer. The first one is when the manipulation starts. So manipulation started, we'll need an event handler for that. And obviously, if we're doing manipulation started, we should do manipulation updated. We get an event handler for that. And then a couple of other things we want to, if the recognizer manipulation has completed, we want to then take an action based on it being completed. And we also want to do something if we've got manipulation inertia. Now, inertia happens when someone attempts to throw something across the screen. And we just want to capture that and know that someone has attempted to make that manipulation. So we now have a whole bunch of skeleton methods that we need to fill in. And we'll start filling those in order to get this working. So the first method we created was to generate the settings, and this tells the gesture recognizer which gestures we care about. And we care about moving on the X and on the Y. So it's a manipulation translate X. And we also care about pretty much the same thing, except translate Y. So just make that a bit easier for myself. And we now are able to capture manipulations that move on the X and move on the Y. So the next thing we said is, what happens when someone puts their finger down on the element that we're tracking, on the element that we're capturing? So the first thing we want to do is actually capture any more pointer methods into this element. So we captured the pointer itself into that element. So any moves, any releases, anything else that happens with that specific pointer, we will get those methods or those events in this element, we'll get them raised. And then the next thing we want to do is actually start recognizing. So we're going to process the down event on this object into the recognizer. So we're going to get the current point of the object relative to the parent that we're moving around. So that's why we need those objects. So we need the element, the target that we're moving. We need the recognizer to obviously recognize the gestures that we're making. And we need the reference because we need those gestures to be in relationship, the distances and time and space relative to that reference object. So now we've got something starting to happen. The next thing we need to do is to actually do something when it moves. So when it moves, we want to process those move events. So we will, as may be suggested, process those move events, nicely named method. And in here, we again just going to get the intermediate points this time. So all the points that have happened in that move, we'll capture those, but they need to be relative to another object, so in relationship to the object that we're moving within, so that reference frame that we're moving within. Now it's when we're released that we want to do something interesting and actually drop that object or do something with that object that we're releasing. So let's release the, we'll process the up event here, and that will release the manipulation. We're not args, we're just E, get current point, and again relative to the reference. And then we can release the pointer capture that we've already got for this pointer. We don't want to release them all because remember there may be other people trying to drag things. You may have two fingers dragging something. So you want to make sure that you are releasing just the pointer that you're releasing or just the pointer that's interacting at this point. And then at this point, we can check whether there are any other pointer captures. So if there are any other pointer captures, first of all, it won't be null. And then we can say, what's the number of them? So if it's less than one, so it's zero basically, but it might be a negative, which would be wrong, but you never know, things do go wrong sometimes. We can complete the gesture. So we're saying if it's the last finger that's touching this element and we've removed it from the element, then let's complete the gesture. Pointer event cancelled comes through. We're really saying we don't want to do anything else with this set of events that are happening. We want to release at this point and complete the gesture. So we will do recognizer complete gesture. And we will release the capture, the pointer capture from this element. And that's all we need to do at this point. Right, so now we've captured and dealt with all the different interactions that are happening with that element. The next thing to look at is the recognizer. So what should we do when the manipulation starts? Well, when the manipulation starts, we are expecting that it will be on a job control. So let's just add the job control object. We'll call it JC. As a job control. Now we're going to assume for now that that is the case. Of course, we should probably do some error checking if this was real code, shipping code. But and we're going to change the highlight on that to a new solid color brush so that we can see that we're moving it and it's indicative in the UI that something has happened. And we'll make it, give it a red border or a red highlight. So now we can see that the object has started being manipulated. So as we grab it, the border will go red. Now you may want to think of a better interaction at that point. I'm sure you can come up with some better ones. And in fact, when we do the review of the design, we will talk about how to improve some of these things. Now the manipulation updated is actually the interesting one where we start to do something with the job control. All we've done so far is touched it and started a manipulation with it. And we're capturing all the different inputs from the finger and from the pointer, but we're not really doing anything with them in the recognizer or in the manipulation handler yet. So now this is where we're going to start to actually move objects around. And to move objects around, we're going to use a transform. So we'll start by getting the transform that the element currently has, because that gives us how it's currently been moved around. And we'll check that we have a valid transform, and we will say if it is a composite transform, then we need to treat it a little bit differently, because if it's a composite transform, that means that it's made up of multiple transforms, not just a translate transform, for example. So we will create this composite transform. We know it is, because we've just checked that it is. And then we will use that to translate or move, use the composite transform to move the object a little bit around. So we'll move it by the delta that it's moved in the manipulation. And we'll do that on both the X and the Y. Now what if it's not a composite transform? So if it's a translate transform, which may be more what we would expect, but we should always expect the unexpected, I guess. We will say grab that translate transform. And again, we will now move the translate transform x by a certain amount. So we'll add the delta that we've picked up in the manipulation processor for the x and for the y again. So we can just do that for the x and for the y. So now we're moving the object between or around on the screen. We're translating its position around the screen. That's a good first step. Now, what do we want to do when it's completed? So when it's completed, we want to drop it into the right place. So the first thing we're going to check is, and here we are actually doing some error checking, check that it is a job control. So if the element is a job control, we'll say the job control JC equals element as job control. And then we'll check that the data context is, as we'd expect it to be, a job, because it's bound to a job. And we don't know about that yet, so we just need to include the using statement for that. So if it is a job, we can grab that job J, from the data context. And now we can start using it. So actually one of the things we'll do is we'll change the highlight back to a different color, because we made it red, remember, when we started the manipulation. So here we'll make it back to being dark gray again. So now we've got the highlight back to dark gray. And then we're going to get the grid that we are moving the object around inside. So remember, the object we're moving the job control in is what we call the reference. And we're going to say, let's get that as a grid. We're going to assume that it is a grid. We know it's a grid because we're writing the other part of the code too. And then we're going to find out how wide that grid is. Remember, everything's in columns here. So let's get the width of that grid. And now we've got the width of the grid, we can work out what the column width is. So column width equals the width, div 3, because it's essentially the whole screen of the grid divided into three columns. And then based on where we're dropping it, we'll decide how we're going to move that job. So if E dot args dot position dot x, so that's the x position of the object or that we're manipulating around, is less than the column width, that means we must be dropping it into the first column, right? So then we can do jobs dot job view model, that's the model that controls everything. Remember, we wrote that move job method. So we're going to move the job, and we're going to move it into the backlog, because the backlog is the first column. So we can do something similar now based on the other two positions that it could be in. So, don't need uppercase. If its position is less than the column width times 2, then it must be work in progress, because that's the next column along. And if it's none of those, we actually don't need another if, because the only place it can be is done. That's the final column. So once we've finished all of that, then the next thing to do is to actually remove the job that we're moving around, because we've now added one into one of the columns. We can remove that job that we're moving around from the grid. So here we're actually doing the hard work of deciding where to drop and where to move the job control that we've been dragging around. Next thing I want to look at is that inertia starting. And in here, we're just actually going to do something very simple. We're going to grab the job control element as job control. And we're just going to set its highlight. So if it's been thrown or it's been got some inertia attached to it, we will show that in the UI at the moment just by making it look like has a green border, but we could do something else. But it's just showing you the code so that you know what to do as you're moving things around and how to capture the inertia. So we've done a lot of work here in terms of creating a manipulation input object and manipulating the jobs as they're moved around, as they're grabbed, as they're moved into different locations. Okay. So we've created that manipulation input processor. We're now going to utilize that when someone puts their finger down on a job and moves it around. And we'll do that in the jobs XAML CS file, because that's the big grid that hosts all the jobs and that we move things around within. So within this, let's create a new method called job control pointer pressed, and that'll take an object which is the sender, which we're hoping will be a job control, but we will need to check that. And it will take a pointer routed event args as a parameter as well. So what we want to do here is first of all check that the sender is a job control. And if it is a job control, then we can get on with doing the work we need to do. So we will take that job control and we'll say it's the selected job control equals the sender as job control. So that's the one, that's the job control that we've just put our finger down on, that a customer has just put their finger down on. And now we're going to grab the job out of that selected job controls data context. Now, if the job is non-existent or that we don't have a data context, there's not much we can do here. So we need to get out and let the CPU carry on doing some more important work. But if it is something, if it is a real job, then what we're going to do is we're going to create a new job control for dragging around. So we'll call that the drag job control. And that drag job control, we will set its data context to be that job so that it knows which job it's actually dragging around. And we'll add a little bit of user interface to this as well. So we'll set the, let's just set the fill color to a solid color brush. We should make it a new solid color brush probably. And we'll just make the background light gray so that we can see that there's something has changed because we've put our finger down on the job. And the other thing we're going to do is we're going to set the column span of this new drag job control so that it can be moved across all the three columns, the to-do, work in progress, and done. So it's the drag job control, and we'll set its column span to 3. The next thing we want to do is make sure that the one that we're going to drag around looks exactly like the one that we picked up. So the first thing we'll do is we will set the height to the same height, and we'll set the width to the same width as the one we're picking up. So it looks like it's exactly the same job control. Now, as we move it around, this drag job control, as we move it around, we want to make sure that we're moving it relative to a certain place. So we'll move it relative to top left. So we'll set the vertical alignment to top, and we'll set the horizontal alignment to left. So now we're moving it relative to the top left. The next thing we want to do is make sure it's positioned exactly in the same place as the job control that we're picking up. So we'll get the transform of the selected job control relative to the jobs grid, which is the main grid that holds all these jobs. And once we've got that transform, we can set the transform. We can create a new translate transform. And set that to the same point. So we'll use a point P equals as the general transform of the selected job control. So we'll transform, we'll transform point. And we're actually just going to transform the top left, which is 0, 0. And we could just do this as 0, 0, but so now we've got a point of the original object transformed to the transform, or translated to the transform. And then we're going to use that in the new translate transform that we're going to apply to the drag control. And then we'll set the drag controls, render transform to that new translate transform. So now we've positioned it in exactly the same place as the original object was placed. The next thing we need to do is actually add it to the main grid. So we will say jobs grid children add the drag job control. And now we've added it, we want to start recognizing gestures that are occurring on it. So we'll create a new gesture recognizer. And then we'll create a new manipulation input processor, which is the object we started creating. Let's have a look at our manipulation input processor object. There we go, that's better. So manipulation input processor, and we'll create a new one of those. And remember the constructor took gesture recognizer. It took an object, which is the object we're moving around. And it took a reference as well. And we just called it recognizer. Okay, fine. Which is the jobs grid. So the manipulation input processor is going to need to know that we've pushed down on an element. And one of the ways we can do that is by passing in the pointer pressed event, as you can see here. So what we will do is make this pointer pressed event public, or actually we could just make it internal, so it's accessible here. And then we can do manipulation input processor element pointer process pressed, and we can say that we can actually pass in the same objects that we took in here in this method that we're in and pass it on. And then the other thing we want to do is, remember right at the beginning, we set that move method for moving a job into a moving state. And so we're going to move that job into a moving state. And this takes us right back to what we did right at the beginning. And we can now say, yes, we've handled that event. So the final piece of this is we need to actually trigger that pointer pressed event from happening. So if we go to the XAML and have a look at the XAML, you can see a data template for the object. And in here, we can do, we can add the pointer pressed method and actually call that job control pointer pressed. So, if we wrote all that code correctly, which is a lot of code to write without much testing at the moment, but let's see how we did. We should be able to build this, and it built. And let's see if we push this out onto the hub, whether it will run, and we can actually start dragging and dropping objects around on the hub. So we're just doing a remote deploy. You can see it's sending it up to the hub. And if we look here on the hub, we've got our objects. Let's create a new job. My job with some details. We'll create that. And then if we did our job right, we should be able to, we can pick it up and move it around, and we can drag it into different locations. So we now have the ability to drag and drop. So let's create another with some more details, create that. And now you can see we're dragging and dropping multiple, using my fingers, I'm dragging and dropping multiple objects at the same time. So we now have something that's more multi-user, more able to deal with direct manipulation. And in fact, when you think about it, we could even get rid of these little buttons that move things between state, because we can literally just pick up an object and drag it into the place it needs to be. So there's a little bit of code. Remember, we used the manipulation processor and the gesture recognizer, but you know, within under an hour, we've managed to get multi-user, multi-touch, drag and drop working in our UWP application, which takes it another step closer to being a good Surface Hub application. So there are some references I want to point you towards here. There's a good article on MSDN on touch interactions. And then, of course, the reference material for the gesture recognizer would be useful for you as well. In this tutorial, we've added drag and drop, or direct manipulation, to objects on the screen. In the next tutorial, we'll start adding inking. And I hope you can join us for that. Thank you very much.